The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Let's go! My God, this is
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now,
no doubt.
It's gonna be a football game.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm being here.
All right, let's go, baby. Hey.
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback!
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max. This is the Tuesday morning edition here as we begin another division and asking our big questions. This time we're going into the AFC West, and on this show we're going to do the Chiefs and Broncos. I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and we're down a man today. Randy had some other things that, some previous commitments that he forgot about, so it's going to be just Eric and I. Thankfully, we added Eric to the show for these, not only for his great commentary that he gives, but also because of situations like this when Randy and Gary have to do things. I'm not left alone, and we can keep doing the podcast here, which has had a problem at times of us not being able to do it for those reasons. So, Eric, I feel like, I haven't been that long. We just did the soccer podcast, so.
It's people are going to either love us this week or hate us, especially me. So either you're welcome or I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah, we have another arrest to talk about. Nothing as it was anything near the Damian Wilson fiasco of last week. This one's a little bit more of it looks like it's going to be a slap on the wrist kind of thing. Todd Gurley and how he's progressing in the new offense. Chiefs finally decide to remote from within for their general manager. And it kind of makes sense now we're talking about the Chiefs, so we get to cover that as well. And we get into the NFL-NBA debate about the whole should NFL players get paid more and why do they not, since a lot of NFL players are now going around saying they should, and perhaps we have a take on why they should or should not. So, yeah, let's go ahead and start here, though, with, I wouldn't say a big story. Obviously, front office stuff is not huge to people that are not, like us to kind of pay attention to this stuff, but Kansas City Chiefs promote Brett Veach, the general manager. He was their co-director of player personnel. They did this on Monday. I mean, I don't know that, we probably know much about him personally. I mean, it's not like anybody goes around and studies the co-director of player personnel. But he was with the Eagles 10 years ago. He worked with their athletic department. He used to work with Andy Reid in Philadelphia as a scout from 2007 to 2012, which is why he's on this coaching staff. He's had the position he had before for about 4 years now. This would have been his fourth year. And now he's been promoted to this role. So, I mean, obviously Andy Reid has a lot of experience with him. Seems like a kind of no-brainer,
It's the Andy Reid connection is the thing that comes up first and foremost, and you're talking 10 years ago, which just after the time where the Eagles made their last Super Bowl appearance under Andy Reid, and this is good. there were some things, especially with Reed and whole bugaboos about contracts that have been straightened out. So this provides a little bit of stability in this position, and you can't go wrong with stability. They now need to use this stability to do something, but stability first.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, they said that after a comprehensive search, they decided to hire Mr. Veach. And, you know, his sharp football mind, tremendous work ethic, and a keen eye for finding talent over the last four seasons played a critical role in building our football team. And, hey, that's kind of what you're doing as general manager, is finding that talent, especially in the drafts and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's worked his way up from being a scout to, you know, player personnel guy, now general manager, earned his way, and I think should, you know, you hope it pans out. The Chiefs have been able to find some pretty good talent lately, and this should continue that role.
Especially doing some things at wide receiver, which is going to kind of be paramount over the next couple months. I hope that immediately provides at least minor dividends to that, but we'll see. I'm going to give the man some time at the very least.
Yeah, we go from a general manager hire to, you know, a new coach in with the Rams, Sean McVay. He has the task of trying to get Todd Gurley back on track after his terrific rookie year. He had a absolutely dismal second year, and I wouldn't even call it a sophomore slump. I'd just say that the Rams just didn't know what the hell they were doing on offense.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you teased Todd Gurley and getting into the Rams offense, I'm like, when did the Rams get an offense?
Well, under Sean McVay, they have. Apparently, they have realized that Todd Gurley can become a situational master, and he is doing everything. He's motioning out. He's obviously coming out of the backfield, outside the hashes, everything. So they're trying to use him everywhere, even as a another option at receiver for Jared Goff, who Gurley was asked, saying that he has the talent. He's just been getting better. He's had great OTAs. Listen, how do you have bad OTAs and a bad mini camp? I just want to know. Unless you get arrested. I mean, like.
No. Who was it? Was it Tavares Jackson from Minnesota when he first came into the league and was supposed to be the guy for the Vikings? 7-on-7 drills. You know, where the quarterback is supposed to be able to sit, read the offense, get the ball out, know what receivers are doing and how coverage is, etc., etc. You figure, okay, if you get a couple of incompletions, that's maybe something to keep an eye out. He was intercepted twice in one practice.
Fair enough.
Yes, bad OTAs in camps do exist.
Yeah, I guess. So most of the time, if you have, you know, if you have a pretty good track record, especially, I think now, especially, when they can hardly touch, they're not really playing football, a lot easier to have better off seasons and all that kind of stuff than, you know. I mean, but obviously this is better than when Todd Gurley was saying that they're playing a middle school offense out there. So they're adjusting, they're doing what they have available to them, and Gurley is now the focus of the offense again, which that's important. That's what he was in that first year where he did so well, and this is what they need from him. If you're really focusing on Gurley, you're taking a lot of pressure off of Goff, and then, you know, hopefully with the tight end they have and the, you know, better receiving core, he can actually beat teams in his second year now. Think Goff's going to be better?
I would hope so. I want to say yes, even though I saw him at Cal, and I'm wondering why is everybody hyping him up as the way they are. So I am going to take all of this with a sizable grain of salt, and if he proves me wrong, I can just throw that over my shoulder and move on with my life.
Yeah, I mean, I hate seeing players be busts. I think it's fun to... I don't really ever want to be going around laughing about a player. Just, oh, he got drafted number one. He sucks. You know, like, you really don't want to see Ryan Leaf situations happen. Like, you want to see guys actually go out there and perform well.
Okay. Earn that money,
you know.
Okay. I don't want to see how Ryan Leaf ended with the coaching some Division II school and having issues with pills and going to jail. But I didn't mind seeing the train wreck those first couple of years in San Diego either. Just like I was entirely against the big Tim Tebow hype machine. And still am to this very day. So seeing him kind of flame out the way that he did, it warmed various cockles throughout my body.
That's fine, I think. It's just, like, you know...
Why do I have a feeling I'm defeating you without even really trying tonight? Is this going to be a pattern?
I don't know how to go from there. Like, you just said it warmed the cockles of your heart. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Would you rather me say warm cockles in my body or go into tingly bits? I could have gone either.
No. That was better. That was less private, I guess.
Alrighty then. See, you have to trust my judgment on these situations.
But yeah, I just hate seeing that because, like, you know, we saw... Oh, why can't I think of his name now? Carson Wentz come in, play actually rather decently for the most part. Then the team kind of started falling apart on, you know, losing Lane Johnson was big. And he kind of started becoming a rookie, obviously. He was also having to pass the ball way too much. And the Rams also threw Jared Goff out there. You have to hope that now with a full year of having that experience and then going back in and now understanding, all right, this is what I have to do to get better, and under a different coach as well, and that coach not having drafted him either and having to just deal with, okay, this is who's here, how can I make him better?
Okay, one big step, have him not get hit. He's been through that enough in his career.
Yeah, I don't know if they did too much to address the offensive line woes, but we'll get to that when we cover the Rams a little bit more in depth. A couple of more things. The Buffalo Bills did have Adolphus Washington get arrested for improperly carrying a concealed firearm near a local water park. He apparently displayed the firearm within feet of officers and not inform the officers beforehand that he had it. The worst part is that the parking lot of the water park was getting cleared out also, which probably didn't make him look too good there, but this doesn't seem like a big deal, honestly.
Okay, at the end, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'm going to tell you, he's lucky he did not get shot. He is very lucky he did not get shot.
What, is it just a shoot first? I mean, wouldn't they tell him to put the weapon down and all that first? I mean...
A lot of times, depending on where the officers are, no, they wouldn't. I have seen way too many news stories of a shoot first and then flip out later and then ask questions whenever necessary.
Right, but I think this is considering where they were.
That's why I say he was very lucky. Because if this happened in the wrong place, then we wouldn't be talking about him being arrested. We would talk about him being dead.
Well, I don't know. Would they really be shooting him that much? I mean, just...
Yes.
Let's... I don't want to get into all that in here. That's not what this podcast is about. But, I think we get a funny one here with DJ Howe deciding he is such a fan of Luke Kuechly, but is even a bigger fan of the Luke Kuechly chant that he named his son Cameron Luke with three U's.
Ugh. DJ, yeah. I love you, but you did it wrong. If you're going to get the full effect of the chant, you needed at least six. Doing only three U's is just a cop-out. You know that, I know that.
I think he wanted to make sure that that could pass a little bit with the three U's. You do six U's, that just looks so weird.
Look, I've seen kids named Murda, Akilla, Superman, For Real, and named after things like fruits, okay? To me, nothing is in the realm of reason anymore when it comes to children's names. If you're going to do something like this, do it right.
I get you, but I still think, like, like, you know, there's certain times where you just go, what in the hell was that person thinking?
Look,
when you see a kid's name.
If people want to use numbers in their kids' names, you stop asking questions about society at that point. You just do. I've crossed that threshold many years ago. You want to name your kid For Real because he's a miracle? You're in New Zealand. Go for it, you crazy Kiwi.
Wow. I don't think you can beat that, honestly. Trying to name your kid For Real. I mean, we've heard some crazy names in the past. Not going to just still. Ugh. All right, so now we're going to get into this debate here, which I don't know how much of a debate we're going to have, because some of it might be common sense. But seems like this seems to be a thing on Twitter and social media. You know, not everybody thinks with their head sometimes when they say things. They just spurt things out for the hot take.
Look, and having been on Twitter since 2010 and having a four-year grudge against a professional soccer player, yeah, you have way too many expectations for Twitter.
So Sammy Watkins was one of the many players that obviously witnessed the NBA signing spree and go, we got to get paid more. Why are we not getting paid more? Fans all of a sudden start saying, why is Aaron Rodgers not getting paid as much as James Harden? And, you know, the whole thing continues. And Sammy Watkins says the 2014 class will be changing that market. Or, you know, and this includes an Odell Beckham Jr., a Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry, who just put up a, you better come up with a new deal by this date, or we're going to wait till the season's over. You know, Devontae Adams, Allen Robinson, so many. And these are just receivers. You know, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you right now the other positions that count towards this as well. But what do you think about this? Isn't there reasons why? First of all, you're looking at 53 players compared to like 14 or 15.
Uh-huh. Okay. Argument number one.
What are your thoughts on this? Like, is there a realm where you can even dream of playing guys that much money?
Considering the type of revenue that the NFL brings in, you're talking $9 to $10 billion in projections within the next few years of that doubling, if not
tripling.
$14 billion,
actually.
Okay, $14 billion. And there are projections to where within a few years' time, that number could nearly double. Compared to what the NBA brings in, there's money there. Now,
it's $8 billion for the NBA.
Okay, $8 billion compared to $14 billion. So you've got a bigger pie. The problem, you've gotten 3.5 times as many slices of that pie. You're not going to have one person have a $100, $200, $250 million contract. Even with the salary cap, look at the salary cap in the NFL versus a salary cap in the NBA that's in the range of $99 to $119 million.
Right.
You're only paying that to 15 guys. You're paying a little bit more, closer to $150 million or what have you, to 53 players. Also, you want to bridge that gap? Get together with your players union, and instead of kowtowing and bending over and doing various things on the I've only seen on the internet and saying, hey, we need to be paid more, hey, start with fully guaranteed contracts. Phase one.
I don't know that they would do that, though,
at
because
this
of all
point,
the injuries.
At this, but and at this point, it's impossible because there's no gap that either Players Association has even fought for. Yes, there are more likelihood of injuries in the NFL compared to the NBA, but even then, you're talking about getting paid more money. Look at your big NFL contracts. That's on the realm of some decency in comparison to that upper threshold on an annual basis, but look at how much of that players actually see versus how much NBA players actually see. There's about three or four things that you could do to get this to not entirely happen, but at least build towards that over the next 5-10 years. But you've got to get your representatives to go in, pick a battle, and stick with it.
Yeah, that's obviously number one. Is they had to make concessions, obviously, to make sure that the league went without going on strike and everything. You have to use that power more. But I think the whole thing with the guaranteed contracts is just so difficult for the NFL players, because especially now with the concussions, they get, you know, some players get multiple ones a season. You have a guy like Sammy Watkins, who opens his mouth, but how many times have you been injured?
Yeah, and I completely agree from the standpoint of injuries, but, I mean, think about this. Say for the James Harden contract, and I'm using extremes for a purpose. 4-year extension, $228 million. Can guaranteed. For that kind of guaranteed money, you would have to come up with a $600 or $700 million contract in the NFL based upon scale and different percentages. That's not going to happen.
Nope.
You're going to have to take less money and smaller contracts, but like they did with the rookie class, and I'm glad they did, those smaller contracts are fully guaranteed. Start there, work up.
Yep. But will they want to do it, you know?
I mean, the league could eventually concede, but at this point, given the player's track record, and you said it yourself, they're not willing to go on strike. They're not willing to miss time. If you really want this for yourself, you're going to have to take that risk. Players did in 87. Look at what happened afterwards. Players did in 82. Look at what happened afterwards.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, you got to take those steps. So,
mm-hmm.
I just find it funny, Sammy Watkins being the one that actually is sitting there talking about getting paid more. But
yeah, Sammy Watkins, Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton. I'm like, these aren't the best voices you can put forward in these situations, with all due respect.
Yeah, certainly, and just not just that. Just like they already signed up the thing with the rookie contracts, so the rookies don't make that much money and don't cause huge cap hits and get paid when they haven't done anything.
Sam Bradford.
Yeah, you got to earn that wage. And then once you show out and are consistent throughout the 4 or 5 years, depending on where you got drafted, then you can go and, you know, I don't know if they can do something with the franchise tag. Maybe the franchise tag gets more money, or they just do it where you can only franchise tag him for 1 year and not two.
I would say the 1 year and not two, because if you look at the percentages, it's already set up money-wise. I mean, at this point, if I could get that kind of cash, I would immediately work out a Bobby Bonilla-type deal. Give me so much now and defer it, so that way, once a year, I come in and pick up a check, or you mail it to me.
Picking up checks, never going to be... I don't think anybody's ever going to say, no, I don't want to pick up my check, I'm good. You know, just please, more money. More money for anybody. I'm sure Kirk Cousins wishes he was on the free agent market right now.
No.
I think after that, these years, he's shown that he deserves money. I don't know about, you know, Derek Carr money, but...
Yeah, that's the caveat, and that's why I say he shouldn't be on the free agent market. He's going to want Derek Carr money. He's going to feel like he can command Derek Carr money. But these general managers will say, boy, you better pack sand and head on back to Michigan with that mess. Goodbye. Dan Snyder, he's still your problem.
Well, perhaps he may not be Dan Snyder's problem much longer. We'll see if that continues to be a thing for him. So, all right, that's going to be it for news here. We're going to get into the teams. So, we'll start off with the Denver Broncos, who went from being Super Bowl champs 1 year to... not making it the next.
There's an old saying, but I'm not going to use it here.
Wait, well, come on. You can't do the whole... yeah. There's an old saying and then not...
Well, that's because I can't say it as effectively on here as I would be on other podcasts.
All right, fair enough.
You know what saying I'm talking about, the sugar one.
Ah, yes. That one.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right about that.
Exactly. Perfectly applicable for the Broncos, but I just can't say it like I want to. And that's okay.
Maybe they will take that blessing that they got in the Vatican and turn it around and do much better this year. What do you think? How did the team get better from last season?
This is going to be weird, and I am going to have to borrow a reference from that's not really ideal under present circumstances, but I'm gonna. And it has to do with quarterback. We all know Trevor Siemian was, well, played like he played at Northwestern, and played in the NFL like he was a quarterback at Northwestern. They went and scooped up Chad Kelly as Mr. Irrelevant, and with the Kelly name, with the Kelly lineage, and with the Kelly talents, minus the pressure, I think there could be something brewing there.
So no love for Paxton Lynch.
Memphis is a basketball school.
So no confidence that he could come in and play well for the Broncos here? I mean, you're just dismissing it just because of the school he comes from?
Well, kinda. He had opportunities, and look at what happened. And again, if he was any bit better, he could have beaten out Trevor Siemian. Memphis, Northwestern, I'm sorry. Step your games up. Northwestern, you do what you do, produce a lot of smart people and journalists. Memphis, basketball. Not that hard.
You're not wrong. But I still think that we're judging him based off of where school comes from. We've seen people come from schools that aren't football inclined necessarily. And I mean, look at Jerry Rice. I mean,
Yeah, but that was Mississippi Valley State. They were a one pretty decent 1AA school.
Yeah, well, Tony Romo doesn't come from the great lineage either, so...
I don't know. Jimmy Garoppolo, Eastern Illinois, you can kind of beg to differ on that one.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, but Romo set the standard there. So.
Exactly! I gotta give Eastern Illinois some props.
I think, obviously, how they got better for me is the offensive line. They improved it from last season... adding Garrett Bowles and bringing in Ron Leary from the Cowboys, you know, Jake Butt as well, getting to draft him where they drafted him, big steal. I think if he stays healthy, he adds to the line as well because he's going to be blocking, you would presume.
Oh, obviously, huge blocking tight end, and hopefully he'll be smart enough to get himself an insurance policy in the NFL like he did at Michigan.
So, and that's what you need, whether you're starting Paxton Lynch, whether you're starting Trevor Siemian or Chad Kelly or whoever. That is very important for these young quarterbacks that you have. And also, C.J. Anderson went down pretty early. Getting to have him back, you hope he stays healthy. I think that's going to be a big deal for the Broncos to have a much more secure running game, something that they needed. You think Jamaal Charles might have a little bit of resurgence here, or he doesn't, you know, do you feel like he has a role?
I really think he does. A lot lesser one, clearly, than he did in his past in his career, but I think if he shows out like he did for Kansas City, he may pull a little usurp maneuver, work his way into the number one, or at least form a solid two-headed monster, so I can't leave him out entirely.
I mean, I think if anything, he's proven he can be. You can have C.J. Anderson be the runner, mm-hmm. and you can have Jamaal Charles kind of be the special back that comes in on third downs. He runs goes out on the flat. You know, those kinds of things. Maybe he's not as fast as he used to be, but he can definitely still provide those big plays if you need him.
Yeah, he still can, but I mean, I don't necessarily know about him, as you said, going out the flat and running a lot of pass routes, depending on who's throwing the ball. That's kind of a factor.
Well, obviously. Obviously, whoever's throwing in the ball is a big factor. But I'm going to go on the hope that he can show a little bit of what he used to be while staying healthy is always important.
Yeah, he still can get used to being in the altitude more often, but I don't see that as much of a hindrance.
How do you feel that they may have gotten worse?
I mean, it's a hard way for me to describe because they did draft well. But, and this is one of the few teams that I saw, especially with Elway being like he is in the front office, they seem relatively stagnant is the word that I would use.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I might be off, but it's like, yeah, you addressed key things, offensive line, running back, but you didn't go above and beyond so that way you could get closer to guaranteeing improvement. I like the younger and the different gambles, but either not enough gambling or too much.
I mean, they're definitely going all in with, all right, we're going to have Trevor Siemian and then a bunch of young guys at quarterback. So you could definitely run into a problem where if Trevor Siemian gets hurt, watch out. I mean, I know they tried to get Romo and then he retired and whatever, but...
That was never really a likelihood in my mind.
I think that they may run into that problem. Will Trevor Siemian get better with this second year? That's a question, you know, that's out there. Or does a Paxton Lynch or somebody else win that battle and say, all right, you did decently for us last year, you know, pretty well in certain spots, but we're going to go with the guys, you know, we drafted. About your luck there.
But. Yeah, well, if he can get together and lead a union, he should be able to lead a team.
Well, definitely, yes, but that's like a no-brainer.
I know, but you would think these are no-brainers, but evidence is somewhat proving the contrary.
Do you, I definitely think with the tight ends that they have now, too, they could run some double tight end sets, use those more to help those younger guys out as well. You know, I mentioned the Jake Butt edition, but Jeff Harriman got hurt last year, was out pretty much the whole season. You got A.J. Derby there from Arkansas. So you got a nice, with Derby and Butt together, I know that sounded weird, that sounded so weird now. But you're going to say his name like that. You're going to call him Jake just so you don't say Butt?
It's not Butt. It's that name in that context. It's going to create for some very interesting sentences throughout the NFL season. Everybody get some good soundbite capturing material ready.
Two tight ends that can catch the ball. I think you added a bit more dynamism to that offense, and again, to help these younger guys. I mean, the defense is going to be led by Von Miller. They're still struggling, I think, a little bit from losing some of the guys from the Super Bowl year, but the core that's still there is still very good. Just you hope that the offensive lineman improvements are going to be good enough for them. Anything you are excited about to see in training camp from the Broncos, and what do you think? Is it the quarterback's the biggest question mark, or the defense? What do you think?
Quarterback 1, defense 2, offensive line 2A. Because if you're in a situation to where the guy from Northwestern is the guy from Northwestern, you're going to be putting pressure on that defense to not really give up much of anything. And I don't think they're quite up to that task even with Von Miller. So I would love to see how they respond, and I would love to see what the offense is going to give them to work with.
Certainly. I think, if anything, It's about, obviously, the quarterback is the most important thing here for the Broncos. If, whoever you go with, you need to make sure that you're sticking with this. I think you have to stick with them the whole time. You can't, Paxton Lynch played badly, we're going to switch to this guy or whatever. Unless you're saying, all right, well, Paxton Lynch, you're out. We drafted Chad Kelly, I think we'll go with. If you're really going to play Russian roulette with the quarterback situation, I think you're going to run into a problem where you're not going to be competing at all. I think I don't know how you feel about that, but
considering as how there's three bullets in this chamber instead of just one, yeah. If you're going to walk in Memphis, walk in Memphis. If you're going to go with Northwestern, go with Northwestern. If you're going to go with a Kelly, go with a Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. I think you need to just go with one and let's see how far it takes you. Obviously, they got a really rough division this year with all the other teams getting better. So Denver's got a lot in front of them, big issues to fix here, and also having the least experience at quarterback. You have a Derek Carr. You have Alex Smith for what he is. I still think he's pretty damn good. And I know people love to say,
he's underrated.
Yeah, I think he does get underrated a lot. And then you have Phillip Rivers, who proved last year that he could still sling that ball around just as long as his receivers are healthy.
Boy, are they glad he decided that he would go with the team to L.A. after all.
Right. Got to move those, what is it, like 8 kids or 9 kids, whatever he has.
I heard 7, but yeah, I think that has since expanded. I mean, for a guy who isn't a Mormon, I mean, come on, slow things down a little bit, okay? Your God, name is Rivers, not Duggar. We have enough of those.
Jeez. Oh, that's great. So the Chiefs, under Andy Reid now, discovered a few things last season, mainly Tyreek Hill. And Eric Berry came back from a debilitating disease to become one of the best freaking corners in the game and definitely earned his money. Now they step in. Patrick Mahomes gets drafted. Lots of talk about Andy Reid didn't want him, and that's one of the reasons why the GM is out.
Wait. Whoa. Okay, I originally heard the exact opposite, so I am both confused and intrigued.
I heard it from people that are very close to... we have a guy in Last Word on Sports that actually is credited by the league. He went to the summer meetings and everything else, so... he's the one talking about it. Of course, he's also a Raiders fan, so... But he's usually... He was the one that was really on top of the Raiders going to Vegas and had all the updates on that. And so, you know, I think they aren't wrong here in saying that perhaps that wasn't the case for Reid. I think he is an Alex Smith supporter, or the guy wouldn't have been starting all these years and been able to sort of flourish under him.
Exactly. Not to mention, I was kind of dubious of that pick to begin with. I'm like, it's going to be a big knock against Holmes that he is something of a very cliched system quarterback, and things are actually quite well under Andy Reid with Alex Smith, so why are you fixing something that ain't broke? This answers a couple of questions.
So where do you think the Chiefs got better?
Front office stability, really kind of, again, anchoring the defense to go along with Eric Berry not having so much on him. I think that was a big thing. I mean, I would love to say that they've unleashed the offense a little bit more, but given the receiver situation outside of Tyreek Hill, I don't count on it.
Shouldn't they worry that now with a whole year of film on Tyreek Hill, people are going to be able to figure him out?
They should be extremely worried, and that's why I was again questioning why they let Jeremy Maclin go, but I'm just sitting here behind a microphone and not in the front office. Although, given recent decisions, maybe I should be. Given the style of offense and given how they're playing to Alex Smith's strengths, he's going to need multiple people to help bail him out, especially, again, with the focus on intermediate routes, dinking and dunking. And you're really not going to see a whole bunch of that this season, not from what they have.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an issue. For them is not having Jeremy Maclin, who was a key receiver for them when you hadn't discovered the greatness of Tyreek Hill. And yeah, I think when you're becoming very one-dimensional with Tyreek Hill, yes, you have Travis Kelce there, and he gave you a lot last year. He was a tremendous outlet for Alex Smith. I'm not knocking that at all. You continue with the Albert Wilsons and Chris Conleys and which Conley, I thought, improved as the year went on as well for them. You're really going with a young core and not having that big name receiver. It's just really just Travis Kelce and everybody else.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, can you exist on that? It's also still the now it's officially the Spencer Ware and Charkhanic West show after Jamal Charles is officially gone. You do have Kareem Hunt in there, the rookie who could do. I think he can surprise people this year. But yeah, I mean you're looking at a lot of the same pieces without some of the bigger names now being gone.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the team that went double-digit consecutive games, if not an entire season or equivalent of it, without a touchdown by a wide receiver.
Right. This is that team.
Okay.
They that broke kinda, it during last season.
Yeah, that kind of answers your question about can they exist off of that. Signs are pointing to no.
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle, I think, definitely. Do you feel like that's how they got worse then? Dropping
yes.
Macklin, or is there another?
Unequivocally, you had the one thing going for you. You had one job. And you did it backwards.
Yeah, you went and got the quarterback that you didn't necessarily need instead of going and getting, a receiver that you could have done a lot more with. Didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's like getting eggs and cheese when you need milk and bread. How many more omelets are you going to make? Sandwiches do just fine.
No, omelets sound good, though.
Well, omelets are delicious when made properly, but still. I should not have mentioned that.
No, I want an omelet.
Yeah. And I am not in the mood to make a run to IHOP, not right now.
I'm not in the mood to go cook one.
I don't know. I'm not in the mood to cook one either, but in a pinch, I'll spend $9-$10 on one of those Colorado omelets. Christ, oh, delicious.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows if CJ Spiller is going to do anything after he's been so just a non-factor every time he goes to a team. But, right now, again, you might have gone with the wrong thing. I love the Benny Logan addition to this defensive line, just making it even tougher to get through. With the Justin Houstons and Tom Ali's of the world in that linebacking core and knowing the defensive backfield the way it is. It's just, I think that's where they needed to improve more was on that, on the O-line and then the receiving core. And I don't know if they really did that. So that's,
This is going to be another one of those prepare for a season of 13-10 games kind of a situation.
So where do you feel is that, I'm guessing that's the biggest question mark then, is the what do we do on offense? How do they try to match what they did last season? And then, for me, I feel like I'm excited to see what some of these I am kind of wanting to see what Patrick Mahomes does in those preseason games, just because apparently Randy Reid is not a big fan. So can he sling that ball around like we saw at Texas Tech? We've yet to see really a sling the ball quarterback like that coming from the air raid offense do well in the NFL. So.
And this isn't even the same air raid offense where it was at its peak. With Mike Leach, who's now at Washington State. So if Graham Harrell couldn't crack anything, and he was one of my favorite quarterbacks I'm rooting for, it's not looking likely that Patrick Mahomes is going to be Brett Favre reincarnated here.
He does run the ball a lot, so very much like Alex Smith. So, if perhaps he can be the stronger-armed Alex Smith in the future. Maybe there's a spot for him.
Yeah, if he can develop a stronger arm to where you can push the ball down the field, fine. Give him a receiver to show what he can do. I'd be interested. But right now, I want to turn the question mark into an interrobang before I make it in a full exclamation point.
Wow.
You've never heard of that word before.
No.
Yeah, it's like a combination question mark exclamation point. That's the official word for it. Interrobang.
Okay. Well, learn something new today. I always like learning something new, so already starting out the day in a strong fashion, and it's not even 2 o'clock in the morning yet.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think we sort of answered that for them. It's just, what do we do here? And I think the defense has been in question, too, because, you know, you've had injuries. They haven't been as strong at times. Then they, wasn't it like they were waiting for a while? Was it one of them, either Ali or Houston, to, like, come back for after season? And
I think Tamba Ali, but Justin Houston, I think, was ringing more bells in my mind with that situation. So it might have been Houston.
So the Chiefs, I think, are primed again to be a force in this division. I wonder if, you know, one of the teams we're going to talk about on Thursday with Gary is the one that's primed to finally take the reins and really do what they couldn't do last year due to the Derek Carr injury and blow this division wide open. But if the Chargers, who certainly improved and their defense got better, everybody can stay healthy for once, you never know. This is going to be a division to watch.
It will be. And from some of the stuff I've heard, the Chargers have bigger problems than just what to do on the field.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Hopefully next week Randy will be back with us. If not, we'll just keep rolling on doing the AFC North next week. Before we finish out this division, we'll of course do the Oakland Raiders and San Diego Chargers with Gary on the Friday morning edition. Until then, everybody, hopefully if you've enjoyed what we talked about here, you can always subscribe on your favorite podcatcher device, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. We are on YouTube, WTM Network. The WTM Network is also everywhere. There are podcasts, which you can not only get this show, you can get our soccer show that we do, all the wrestling podcasts, which we have many of those, and very many more video games podcasts, and many entertainment podcasts provided by the Radlitz people, which they're awesome. You definitely want to check those out. They just did a TV party tonight reviewing Glow on Netflix, which is a terrific show. Just definitely need to go check that out, certainly. So until the Friday morning edition, make sure, you know, hit that subscribe button. Be back here for more because you're not going to want to miss it. And we'll see you later, everybody.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.